Hello, folks. This is the Nick Knack Podcast. I'm Nick Knack. I'm a queer and autistic non-binary woman with a variety of deep interests. This podcast is a kind of audio blog where I share my views and life in pursuit of greater engagement, connection, and emotional relief. This is Season 15, Episode 53, and I'm calling it I Feel the Earth Move, because so many changes have been coming about my life lately that it feels like my life experience is a massive, massive burst of seismic activity. I'm in my second week of my visit to Seattle, my second and final week of my visit to Seattle, and that's hard to deal with, and there's lots of other stuff going on. So before I turn the cheese into the episode, grab your favorite beverage and a breath, get ready for some sharing. And if you like this style of content, please, please, please consider heading to knickknackpod.net, checking out my Patreon and PayPal links. They will be available in the show notes as well. So grab your beverage and a breath, and before ado is in any way furthered, let's get started. Anytime you visit, go on a trip, vacation, whatever, time is always finite. You know, time is always limited, and you never have as much time as you want to do all the things that you want to do. You never have as many spoons as you want to do all the things that you want to do. And at least for this bit of traveling, I was more cognizant and more aware, and I was more careful than I normally am about my trip planning. And, you know, I kind of knew where the relationshipy stuff was going because I know me so well, because I know my patterns so well, because I know that when it works fast, and it's either the best thing in the world or it completely explodes. And that's just, you know, my autistic life. Things are either the best or they're not. And things with Vinny are great. We both have spots and times where we can't help each other. And those can be hard momentary moments to get through. But other than those occasional moments and trying to figure out more ways, more coping strategies for when we can't help each other, when we have our rough moments, genuinely, love on the spectrum is an awesome thing. And genuinely, I never want to have to look for another partner again. I'm done. And B, if for some reason that did have to happen, I would never look outside of the spectrum again. Never, ever, 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 ever. Because for as hard as it can be at times, it's just helpful to have somebody that shares your brain type. We were going on about Star Trek the other night for like hours. And the minor nuances and the minor things and, you know, talking about wanting Vulcaneers and other things. It's just, Vinny's my person. And I'm trying not to dwell too much on the romantic part for those that don't like that content, but I do feel the earth move whenever they are around. And I feel guilty because for as much as I'm, you know, new in that phase and new in that portion of things, I'm not great at multitasking. I can only do one thing at a time. I have an 8-track playhead and multiple thoughts are occurring to me in my head simultaneously as life goes along, but I can't do multiple things at the same time. So, you know, in practical application, if I'm doing things with Vinny, I can't also be doing things with a friend at the same time. Or if I'm working on a podcast, I can't also be doing things with friends or also being doing things with Vinny at the same time. I can only do one thing at a time, as much as my mind feels like it has unlimited bandwidth at times. And that goes back to this whole activism thing, this whole, you know, retired activist or semi-retired activist or whatever I am, because, you know, if I look back at the episode camaraderie and what that represented and what that meant to me, that was me genuinely trying to take Chico and make it suck less. And I did my best, but I did not succeed. And I suspect it's just one of those things where it's beyond any one person's capacity to fix. I suspect that this is all going to come down to a need to find some sort of balance at some point in life. You know, I sort of have this in the high concept view. The high concept view being like, you know, you have a few friends, maybe one or two friends, and then you have your relationship, which is kind of your meat and potatoes, and then you have the elements of life somewhere else in the mix. I have no interest in children or anything like that, so that's not a concern in my life or my partner's life. So, you know, that's not the world we're in. But everything else, you know, doing artistic creative projects, gaming, spending time with friends, and then also spending time with your partner, and then also, you know, doing some sort of community activism, something. And then also, you know, just trying to survive as a person that's disabled by the neurotypical world. You mix all that together and it's, you know, again, it's a lot to deal with. It's a lot of challenges, it's a lot to take on. And, you know, the good thing about my brain, my neurodivergent brain, is it is very good at breaking down systems, at trying to look for loopholes in the systems when I need them, or just be comforted by knowing how the system works when I just need to know how the system works. Honestly, we knew from the get-go that, you know, that it was, you know, kind of high stakes. It was kind of like, well, this is either going to be awesome or it's going to blow up. And I think I'm at this point where it's like, well, we already know it's going to be awesome. We've decided to make it awesome. And I think that's probably the key to a relationship, is making the decision. And once you've made the decision to really invest in it, once you've made the decision to really go with it, you know, then it becomes about, okay, so now that I've made that decision, how do I deal with the cascading effect that decision has? That's probably a better way to look at it. And a way to step back at something. So, I mean, let's just, like, try and divorce this from the situation for a moment. Let's just take me moving back to Seattle as a decision thing and look at cascading side effects. So, Washington State is more particular about driving and binocular vision than apparently California is. So that means that even with glasses, I can't drive in the state of Washington. And also, Washington State doesn't include a state supplement or disability benefits. So, you know, whenever I looked at moving back to Washington State before, it was always a matter of, well, you know, rents are really, really high. And this town is owned by the tech world, so they're only going to get higher. And benefits top out at $750 a month, roughly speaking. I think the state supplement is about 200 in California. And they give you an EBT supplement, but it's not as great, and there's other things to deal with as well. So I always looked at it and said, even though Seattle is my home, even though Seattle is where I want to be, because I have family close by, because the last time I was in Seattle, I was alone and got my ass kicked by the city multiple times, as much as I loved the city. Like, that wasn't a logical choice. The cascading effect of decisions didn't make logical sense. The equation has changed. Now I have someone that I desperately want to start sharing my life with now, right now, this second, this moment. Yeah, there's going to be some cascading decisions that are going to complicate my life. I'm going to have to rehome my cat, which really sucks. I'm going to have to make sure that I really, really, really permanently quit smoking. And I've gone almost 2 weeks now. I think it'll be 2 weeks this Thursday. So I've got to really make sure I'm on top of that, and I've got to really make sure that I'm on top of, probably above all else, my pain and my moods. Because as much as I'm in the newer phase of the relationship and I'm being more careful than I will eventually be when it's just normal, I just have to continuously be on top of my moods and my pain. And then I also have to go back to that life balancing thing. You gotta balance your life. It's not, you can't have all your eggs in one basket. You have to kind of throw it out, mix it around a little bit, so that if one element of life is sucking in the moment, that one element of life doesn't necessarily drag you down for the rest of it. And it's just this balancing thing. But I always feel bad because I don't balance well, because I don't multitask, because for me it's all or nothing. That stupid song from the musical Oklahoma. It's like I invest everything in whatever thing I'm interested in doing, and I have so much task inertia that I don't switch tasks well. So I'm gonna have to say, especially to friends and family right now, it's not that I don't care about you or love you or want to talk to you or want to connect or hear your stories or be empathetic or do any of that, the stuff that I might normally do or used to do, at least before COVID or whatever. It's that I can only do one thing at a time, and this last year and a half or so since I left the warm line has been about trying to take care of myself, trying to ensure my own survival. And the thing with COVID is, like, we can't beat a virus. This stupid thing, even if we vaccinated the entire population, even if people were smart enough to do that, ultimately we can't beat a virus because a virus mutates. So at the very least, even if everybody in America or in the US suddenly got some intelligence and suddenly got a booster every 6 months, it's still going to be a force in the world. This is the new normal, and masks are a thing of a reality. So we're going to have to learn to adapt to that. And we're going to have to come up with a new economy because I'm sorry, but the environment is fucked, and disaster capitalism is taking every opportunity it can, which is why I feel so lucky that I managed to find someone in all of this, in the middle of this. But I've also got to keep myself in check, because if I lose myself in trying to save the world, then I'm going to lose focus, and I've got to keep the relationship focus. So again, I come back to, I'm going to try to multitask as best I can. There's tons of things I want to do. I figure I've got, maybe 36 years left, 36, 37 years left, maybe. And if the social safety net and the support system and all of that doesn't completely implode in the meantime. So if all those conditions can be met and I can be comfy and keep podcasting and keep trying to do positive things for the next 35 to 37 years, somewhere around there, and be with my partner and enjoy that and be back in the city, then that'll be great. But I also know that, in the neurodivergent world, there's it depends on the person, but there's this concept of spoons or tickets or energy, and it implies when the outside world has disabled you in other ways too. It takes so much energy just to even get out of bed in the morning, just to literally wake up and face the reality of the day, no matter what you have going on. That by the time you've woken up and gotten out of bed and done all the morning stuff, you're already tired. And so the everyday survival things that don't kick most people's asses, or wouldn't kick a neurotypical person's ass, kick my ass every second of the day. And to be in a relationship, to be able to have a visit with my partner, to be thinking and trying to figure out how to move in 6 months, to be finally having the guts to say, I need to figure out how to monetize this podcast. I need your help. I need your support. To do all the stuff that I'm doing is really, really difficult. It's taken everything I've got just to do what I'm doing. And I fall down a lot. I fall short a lot because I'm only human, and I'm sorry if I can't be everything you want me to be. Seriously, all apologies. I'm doing my best. I value the people that take time to listen to this. I value the people that take time to listen to this and then talk to me on top of that. I just can't do everything. I'm no super person. And I'll just end this by saying I'm so grateful that I have you as a listener, and that I have now more than listeners, that I have a partner, because for the longest time all I had was a revolving door of therapists, medicines that don't really work, and this podcast to kind of lighten the burden every once in a while. And now, hopefully come May 1st, I'll have my city again, and I'll have my partner, and it'll be a turbulent, bumpy ride at times, but we'll be holding hands. And I'd rather go down in a crashing plane holding hands, white knuckle, then go down in a crashing plane and not have anybody's hand to hold on to. And I know it sucks when you can't find a hand to hold on to. I know that sucks. But I do really want to say that if you can find a person to be with, if you can do just a little bit, not everything, don't destroy your life for it, don't derail your life for it, but if you can do just a little bit to help the greater, larger world, then you're doing your best to be the best human you could possibly be. And that's all I'm trying to do. And that's the only reason I'm asking for support, is because what I do doesn't generate money. It just generates feelings. But I sincerely hope it generates enough feelings that you might care and you might have compassion and you might have some empathy. And maybe, through telling my story, through sharing whatever I'm sharing, maybe that can connect and resonate with something in your life and help you in your own way. I want a PhD in psychology just because I like studying psychology. or MFT or whatever, but I'm not sure how great a therapist I would actually make, because I do like not only double empathy but like quadruple empathy, and I just have the ticket spoons thing. Like I just have such limited energy. But if I run across you in the 3D world and there's something I can help you with, or through the podcast or whatever, I want to be able to help my fellow humans, because life sucks and it should suck significantly less than it does. And again, all apologies for not being able to respond to every person, not being able to put everything into every interaction. I'm doing the best I can, and I appreciate having you along for the ride. Please, please, please. This moving thing is very difficult. This not being with my partner immediately is very, very difficult. Our love is genuine. Our love is strong. I need your help and support, not only to keep producing the best content I can, but to have the life I want, which will enable me to produce the best content that I can, because the social safety net is problematic, especially on the West Coast, which is the best coast. So again, knickknackpod.net, check out the Patreon, check out the PayPal, and thank you so much for listening.
Are the schools shitting out fools who believe what they read and believe what they see? Don't believe them and don't believe me. I'm a tool. I'm your changes of mood. I'm a drug in your food. Don't believe them and don't believe me.
I thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you'd like to support my work, please leave a review in the podcast apps or check out my PayPal and Patreon available on knickknackpod.net. That's NICKNACPOD.net. Your help is greatly appreciated. The music is The Fool's Guide by Anthony Ricciuno. Opening and closing is Catch Me If You Can by Attica Attica. If you enjoy this music, please support these artists by buying their work or making donations. Links can be found in the show notes and on knickknackpod.net. The Knickknack Podcast and FS Ride Along series is copyright 2006 through 2021 by the Knickknack Podcast Network and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial 4.0 International License. Thank you so much for listening. May you find the safety and support you need to empower you and meet your needs.
My back, I'm on the road, the open road, with my thumb outstretched from my head. podcast.